music playing from local bands we know on Reverb Radio. It's Pete Jones Radio Show. It's live on air. It's Pete Jones Radio Show.
We have in the studio the man we've been tagging wrong for many, many months. But he's come back for more. He's very gracious and gorgeous. His name is John Jackson. Hello, sir.
Hello, Pete.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, you're looking very well. Can I just point that out?
Well, I appreciate it. I really do.
Good. What's been going on in your world?
I've been a bit poorly.
Yes.
Which is not very exciting or interesting. But apart from that, just released a single, which you very kindly played a few weeks ago.
It is gorgeous. I must be honest.
Thank
you very much. It is very lovely.
One thing I should say, though, you've run out of mixes in the green room.
What? Now wait a minute.
So it hits you in the back of the throat a little bit.
Can I just say, and this is for the record, if we've run out of mixes in the green room, that is because you have put away a little bit too much.
Dutch courage.
What's your tipple? What's been going down back there?
The gin's not bad, actually.
Gin's not bad? Okay.
Yeah,
and what have you been mixing it with?
With gin.
Yes, that's why it's looking rather green, that room. Just watch it, because, you know, I mean, I know it's hospitality and all that, but, you're not as young as you were.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that no one is as young as they were.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, you're not at school anymore. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I go to school
with
my kids.
Yes, that doesn't count.
I don't sit in the classroom, but I do take them.
I don't know where that's going. That is ridiculous. That took me right down the wrong alley. Kenny Murray says, sorry. What did I can't remember. Where? I'm lost. Anna, listening in, said it is sounding fab. Well, that's what we want to know. So the John Jackson sound. Now, I know that... Back in May last year, you hit the ground. You suddenly, having had a hiatus, it was the drink again. Yeah. But you got the EP out, and we plugged it like crazy. What was going on there? Were you just suddenly thinking, right, I'm back. I'm back with a plum? Because it's second time round, really, isn't it?
It is, kind of. So, yeah, I was in bands a long, long time ago, and... as you know, because we had a bit of a chat about I used to suffer from very bad stage fright. But the band that I was in was particularly one of them that was doing all right. Loved playing live, but I hated it. And so because of that, I kind of gave it up. I just couldn't bear the struggle of going on stage and coming off feeling like I want to be in a dark room in a fetal position, rocking like a crazy person. So I stopped. And then, but just over the last couple of years, I've continued to do music, but I just never, ever recorded it. So a year and a half ago, I decided, you know what, I want to go back. But this time... forget the live stuff and just record. And so that's what I've been doing.
And has that mostly been on your own this time?
It has been. So the advantage of that is that I have full control, and the process is, you know, I can just argue with myself creatively, which is a certain amount of freedom. It's a little bit isolated, though. I mean, you know, I miss that buzz that you get of working with other musicians that we got in the band, and I miss that collaboration. So it has its advantages, but it has its downsides as well.
I almost feel we're almost at a place where, especially if you have been around a while, not too long, obviously, but a while, I know, that we are entering a period of isolation. I mean, all work seems to be almost in an isolation. I asked you earlier, you know, when you got asked, you know, I said, where are you based? Where do you work? You said, well, you know, the company's in, or the organisation is in London, but I do it all from Hove. Mm. And it's like, yes, that sounds great, but... you know, it's isolating in a way, isn't it? I know everything's on Zoom and all that, but is that the same?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, when it comes to, like, creative projects, things happen which would never have happened if you weren't working with other people, that take you down really interesting paths and throw up just really interesting creative work. Whereas when you're by yourself, obviously you can produce, you know, hopefully worthwhile pieces, but it will have a different quality to it.
Get everyone in a room and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I do miss that, I have to say.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And before, were you collaborating when you were writing and creating?
Yeah, so I was writing with another guy in the band, and I was the lead singer, but we both wrote together.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting process. And the rehearsals, I just love rehearsing.
How did you...
Going out and actually performing, but the rehearsing was great.
And how did you used to write? Was both doing both? Both doing lyrics and music?
Yeah, so, you know, someone might come with, you know, some chords and some ideas for sections of a song. The other one might come with some lyrics or vice versa. Or you might come with not a whole fully formed song, but something that was still in the works, and someone else just might add, you know, a middle eight or an idea for some kind of harmonies or whatever. And it could just take it down a different path. Also, just in terms of the arrangement, someone would say, this would be great if you added this instrument or cut out this bit. And things just emerged that you would never have done by yourself.
Talk me through the stage fright that you mentioned. I mean, did that creep up on you? And how did you...
I wish it had, but it would last for like... It would be 2 days before I'd even get anywhere near a stage. So it was horrible. It'd be like for 2-3 days if I knew it was looming, this performance, especially because we played medium-sized venues like the Garage in Highbury or the Borderline in the West End of London, right? So it was... the stakes felt even higher than I guess if I was playing in a much, much smaller venue. Although we did play very small venues where the audience was mainly the other band. Do you know what I mean? I guess a lot of people have done that.
But I've been to those gigs.
Yeah. But yeah, the stage fright, I would feel physically sick.
And did the rest of the band know and appreciate this?
They did, but they didn't care. They were just, you know, they were excited about going on. I mean, they got worried because they would sometimes wonder whether I was going to walk off halfway through or forget a whole section of a song, because my nerves made me forget stuff as well.
So it wasn't just a case of getting on the stage and you'd be fine?
No. It was a stage. It was a case of me getting on stage and who knows what might have happened.
Wow. That's so... It just holds you back so far,
it
right?
It does, yeah.
So what's with the latest? So did you just think, right, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to perform. I'm just going to splash around in the studio and see what comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved, you know, writing and playing music. And now, because of the technology we have, I mean, I've had to have, it's been a steep learning curve with recording and mixing and engineering the music that I do. So that's something I've had to kind of really try and learn. I've used people to engineer and mix, but sometimes stuff gets lost in translation, whereas if you do it yourself, then you know what you want changed, you know what you ultimately want at the end of the process. So that's why I kind of like took on the mixing and the engineering myself. But you know, I think it's all going all right, but I think there's lots of other things I'd love to do with it.
Well, you're striking a chord here. Kenny Murray's just messaged and he says, Pete, sounds very familiar. Stage fright wiped me out. Even recording studios were a big problem. He says, big love. And Anna says, amazing to hear his honest story. It is, actually, because it's not something we give much credence to. We just think, oh, yeah, get up then, you'll be fine. It's like nerves. It's like stage. It's not. It's just not. It's basic anxiety that freezes you into a state of not being able to function, right?
Yeah. And I'm amazed at those, you know, you hear these kind of major artists who, when they get on stage, just incredible, and you hear that they've suffered from stage fright all their lives, and I just don't know how they do it, you know?
Yeah, there's some very famous actors who are in a similar state, and then and yet they will somehow do another West End show.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Stephen Fry had massive issues and blew a couple of huge West End shows back in the day.
Yeah.
That wasn't quite stage fright. It was, I think it just... the mental state that would just freak him out after the first night.
Yeah.
A lovely message in saying, one person's personal story could be someone else's survival kit. True that, very true. I mean, you know, I mean, how do you feel now? Would you know? Is it still? Is this? Because I know this is a big deal for you.
This
right?
is a bit of an experiment. If you're willing to take the risk, I am. But it's a bit of an experiment.
You know, I am. You're just a very gorgeous individual, and nothing is too much. Yeah. By the way, should we play a track? We got a studio track here, not a livey. This one is called Tomorrow. Anything we need to know?
This, strangely enough, is about cremation. Is that all? Do you need to know anything more?
I don't think we need to know any more than that.
But it's
a
positive take on it.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We're just having a chat. That is the gorgeous sound of John Jackson. Tomorrow, who is in the studio now? That's a slightly different track from the one others that I've heard. It's sort of quite ethereal and dreamy.
Yeah, they're kind of a bit eclectic in their influences. But that one, as I say, it was kind of a little bit. I read this thing called, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a physicist's eulogy. And it's this incredible piece of writing about how when a body is cremated, what happens to the matter that is transformed, and about how all these particles going across the, literally across the planet within days or weeks, but going into the soil, going into the water and what have you, and then being ingested. And it's just a very beautiful poetic description of the actual scientific process of a cremation, but the fact that the matter transforms rather than disappears. So it's kind of based on that.
Which I guess is what happens for everything. Nothing disappears. Yeah, or, yeah. You know, that we're all bits of everything.
Yeah.
Just keeps
Stardust,
on going.
Stardust.
Keeps on going.
Joni Mitchell would say.
She did. Yeah. Oh, don't start me. That's such a beautiful song. Oh, my God. I've got that in my head now. What have you done to me? We're going to play a track. We're going to play a track. You're going to play a live track. Tell us about this track.
So this is called Hero, and the recorded version's a bit more funky in terms of, like, you know, the rhythm and the bass and stuff like that. So I've changed it a little bit with the acoustic version, but basically it's kind of about how maybe some of the heroes we need are the people who are outsiders.
Well, listen, my friend, you take it away. John Jackson, Hero.
Saw you on the corner, standing on the edge, looking like a hero, different from the rest. I think you could move me. I think we could start. If we're not dancing, we might as well march. Might as well march. We might as well march.
Absolutely beautiful. You're listening to John Jackson live here on The Pete Jones Show. Tell us what we need to know about that track, John.
It's this kind of, I mean, it's open to interpretation, really. I think the way I write at the moment is a little bit kind of indirect and figurative, so people can think what they want about it in a way. But the seed of the idea is kind of it's a bit about our times, really. Sometimes you yearn a little bit for someone who's a bit more heroic in terms of the leaders we might have. So it's a bit about that.
Yeah, well,
but it's also a love song.
Beautiful, yeah. Love it. Yeah. Moving on, yeah. Tell us about 2025. How do you envisage what's going on in your music sphere?
So, I mean, my plan is to kind of release a single every couple of months or so. I've got a little bit of a backlog of stuff that I've partly written. Basically, this is a way of me doing a bit of time and motion, kind of a bit of productivity control, where I say to myself, I'm going to release something, which forces me then to be a bit more applied and focused, and it forces me to complete stuff which I for years didn't do. So that schedule is basically just to motivate me to get stuff done. But yeah, that's basically the idea, is just to keep on releasing and just developing it as best as possible. At some point, I'd love to collaborate as well, if I can find someone to collaborate with. So,
well, there's plenty of people out there. I mean, especially out there listening. I know Kenny Murray is a fine artist and does a lot of collaboration himself. I know he's listening. But there's, you know, that's one of the things actually that I found with this show. It's been really lovely of putting people together. Whether I've had nothing to do with it, I literally play stuff and people go, who was that again? I think that was it. Or they're playing at a certain venue. Can they support us? And can we do this kind of thing? And is there a bass player that we can do? And I've heard that violinist, you know, and it's this lovely little melting pot of local artists, which it kind of fuels us along, really, because that's kind of the point. I mean, it's like a little supportive hub.
A scene.
It's, well, you know, as much as. How much of a departure are these tracks from the music that you were writing when you were in a band?
They're quite a bit different, yeah, because that was quite a long time ago as well. So, they're different, let's put it that way. The stuff was a lot more kind of, I think, rock-based in the past. And this, I guess, it's a bit of a mixture. There's obviously a bit of rock in there, but...
And did you ever do stuff solo before?
No, never.
Wow, I like that. No, that's cool. Have you been getting artists involved on this? Is it just you?
No, it's just me doing everything, including the engineering and the mixing as well. So
such a talent, man.
Thank you.
we're gonna go out with one more studio track that you've given us. This is called No Surrender. Tell us anything we need to know about this one.
So this is the latest single, yeah, I think there, you know, there's a bit of a theme, really. I'm not going to be political, but you know,
why not? Well, I mean, no one else is. Seriously,
yeah. Yeah, we live in a very non-political world.
Genuinely, what happened to politics in music? That's what it was all about, wasn't it?
I know.
It?
Well, this is it.
Sorry, yeah, but yeah, hello.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Surely, people can be political, can't they?
Yeah, they can. And this is. Yeah. It's basically
not having a go, you know.
Yeah, it's saying we're not going to surrender.
It is interesting.
No, but you're right.
Isn't
you're right. But
you know,
yeah.
It was quite a thing at one point.
Yeah, it was. And now what's sometimes considered political in the music world doesn't really seem to be as well. You know,
right.
It's kind of, it's done within such narrow parameters, and it's very, very safe as well.
Is that because people are just terrified of being cancelled or something?
There's probably lots and lots of reasons for it, which... We'll have to go in another day.
Another
day. But that's basically what it's about.
In the meantime, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. I know it was a hurdle to tick.
Yes.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, if you can tick a hurdle.
Well, this hurdle has been well ticked.
Yeah.
Let's consider it ticked, my friend. John Jackson, thank you so much for coming in. This, my friends, is No Surrender. You might have heard it here first, but you're going to hear it now. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
Get a reaction.
it look easy, not trying to please me to get a reaction. The words, they escape me, they get up and break free, but I've got some action. You keep looking sideways, look up for the real play, don't fall for distraction. We know we can make it, but first we must break it for something to happen.
Scott and Maria on Radio Reverb. The Pigeon Show.